I greet you all in the name of the Lord. It's such a great privilege to speak with you this morning, and I believe it is going to be a wonderful time in the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. So we're continuing our series, Faith in Action Ministry. So last week we looked at taking up your cross, making disciples, and we found out that what it means to bear a cross is simply living a surrendered life, being dead to this world and alive to God. We saw last week that anyone seen carrying or bearing a cross was in the road of no return, because the person will eventually experience crucifixion and death. So also it is when Christ Jesus instructed his disciples to take up their cross. He was simply instructing them to be willing to die to this world and alive to God, submitting all their desires and aspirations to him alone. It requires letting go of your position, your affluence, your cravings, and submitting all to Christ Jesus. The life of a disciple is not just about pursuing self-interest alone. It is about a life devoted to God. God becomes priority in all things. It does not necessarily mean that we are earthly useless. Rather, we are meaningful on earth and also eternally relevant with God. We should be ready as disciples to experience some or all of the points stated last week. As we bear our cross, the first was that we would be faced with strong opposition, even as Christ Jesus was strongly opposed. Shame is the second point, while holding up to the standard of the cross. Suffering will also come along the line, because we will have to forgo some privileges that others enjoy just because of the gospel. For example, in another part of Nigeria presently, they're experiencing serious sufferings on every side. They've lost houses, they've lost properties, they've lost their lives, they've been maimed. Their land have gone through devastation just for the sake of the gospel. And they are still committed to this only way that God has made by which man can be saved. The last point is that for some of us on this journey, death might be inevitable. We don't need to think so far. About 2 years ago, a woman was stoned to death in Abuja for publicly preaching the Lord Jesus. Recently, I read on social media of a Chinese pastor who just had an online service like we are having now. And then he was arrested and imprisoned and will possibly face execution for the cause of the gospel. Most of the disciples died as martyrs. Some even requested that they should be crucified upside down in honor of Jesus. So in our walk with God, in our walk bearing our cross, death might come along the line. Remember that Christ Jesus has gone ahead of us. And so because of that, whatever comes our way, we are able to bear. And the last point raised last week was the attribute of a surrendered life. We saw that a surrendered life is a self-sacrificing life. A surrendered life is a life that is ready to endure suffering for the cause of the gospel. And that a surrendered life is a disciplined life. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you this morning. We give you all the glory. Thank you, Father, for your presence in our midst. Thank you, Father, that you are here to transform lives. Thank you, Father, that no man remains the same again. Thank you, Father, Lord, that every man is met at the point of their need this morning, Lord. Healings, in our minds and in our bodies, oh God. We love and appreciate you for everything. We thank you for the week ahead of us. Thank you, Father, that it is glorious in every way, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we are forever under your cover, Lord. And we are shielded from every evil. We love and appreciate you, God. We give you all the glory, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Continue this morning by looking at the topic, Hindrances to Fulfilling Our Ministry. I would have preferred to reel out some points on this, which I'm sure that we will be familiar with. At least if we are all asked why we haven't been dutiful enough at our post, I'm sure we will have one or two reasons we can add to the list. But this morning, I'm inspired by the Holy Spirit to do this in the form of a narrative, examining the lives of some spectacular personalities in scriptures. And I know that as we do this, we will pick a thing or two, learn from them, take note of their pitfalls, and be better equipped to run our race gallantly, as we have received mandate from our Lord Jesus. The first personality to look at this morning is the man Moses. The life of Moses was all about the salvation of the Lord. At birth, he was supposed to be killed by the midwives, but they saved him against Pharaoh's instructions. After that, his life was under threat and his mom had to take him to the riverside where Pharaoh's daughter spotted him and he became a son. Moses spent his first 40 years in Pharaoh's palace. Little details of this was given in the book of Exodus, but Stephen gives a good exposition in Acts 7:22. He says that Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptian and was powerful in speech and action. Moses will have received the very best of education, instruction in reading, writing, mathematics, engineering, and every useful skill. Ironically, Moses was being prepared for the work ahead of him. We can see that God takes us through experiences most times that we might not be able to explain, to shaping us, to mold us, and to better equip us for the roles ahead of us. Hebrews 11, I'll read from verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Hallelujah. He gave up wealth, a comfortable home, power, worldly success, and affluence in the place of worldly honor. The stigma alone of being associated with the slaves was tough. But what are the lessons we can learn about the call of Moses by God? Moses gave a myriad of excuses, like most of us still do today. Let's look at them quickly. The first excuse that Moses gave to God was that he was not good enough. Exodus 3:11, I'm not good enough, God. He was rather content with being a shepherd in Midian with his father-in-law rather than being called of God. And so the excuse came very fast. God, I'm not good enough. Like some of us are today. All we think we are good for is to wake up, go to work, come back, mind our business, mind our family. And we think that is all to life. We have to be ready to exert ourselves for the cause of the gospel. God didn't, however, accept the excuse. And I'm sure God is not taking those type of excuses from us today. God's reply to him was that, I will be with you, Exodus 3:12. Moses is saying, I'm not good enough. God is saying, I will be with you. Are we saying today that we are not good enough, or are not equipped enough, or we have one shortcoming or the other that is stopping us from fulfilling our ministry? And we are like Moses telling God, I'm not good enough. It's not yet time. I need to achieve this. I need to do that. I need to be good enough. I need to look good enough. I need to look presentable enough. But God is saying to you this morning, I will be with you. Exodus 3:12. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says that, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. God told Moses, I will be with you. And the same applies to us today. The second excuse that Moses gave to God was that he doesn't know enough. God, I don't know enough. I don't have all the answers. What if they ask me questions that I can't answer? What if they ask me questions and I'm not confident enough? What if they ask, what is your name? What should I say to them? I must say at this point that the call most times is not about us, it's about God. God gave him an answer as well in Exodus 3:14. He said to him, I am that I am. Say to them, you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, saith the Lord. It's not about how smart we are. It's not about how capable we are. It's about obeying his voice at all times.